From Spokane Public Radio, it's SPR News Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's Thursday, June 4th, 2026. On today's show, public health officials are investigating two dairies, one in North Idaho, after dozens of people got sick from drinking the operation's raw milk. And Spokane has launched a tool to help renters stay housed after requiring landlords to connect tenants with resources before evicting them for not paying. Plus, public defenders are asking Washington to restrict cash bail to level the playing field for poorer defendants. It's kicked off a debate about fairness and which branch of government even has the authority to write those rules. Those stories and more coming up on SPR News Today. Idaho public health officials are investigating how nearly 60 people in the state have gotten sick since mid-May after drinking raw milk. The Health and Welfare Department yesterday said a North Idaho milking operation is one of the two sources of the raw milk consumed by most of the sick. Officials didn't name the dairies, but say they're cooperating with the investigation. So far, at least 45 of the individuals have tested positive for an infection called campylobacteriosis. It can cause fever, diarrhea, or vomiting. Officials say young children, pregnant women, immunocompromised individuals, and the elderly are especially at risk of getting sick from unpasteurized dairy products. To report an illness after drinking raw milk or get more information, officials say to contact your local public health district. Spokane's eviction prevention resources are now at everyone's fingertips. SPR's Eliza Billingham reports.
Thanks to a new city ordinance championed by Councilmember Paul Dillon, Spokane landlords now have to give tenants eviction prevention resources if tenants are at risk of losing housing for not paying rent. To make that as easy as possible, the city launched a new webpage this week with an online provider directory. It also has steps and a clear timeline for what happens after a pay or vacate notice. After a tenant or landlord contacts a prevention service, they get a 30-day period to try to find a solution. If payment issues still aren't resolved, then the landlord can proceed with filing an eviction. You can find the provider directory at my.spokanecity.org, and this process doesn't apply to evictions for safety or criminal activity violations. I'm Eliza Billingham, reporting.
A new gift to the University of Washington Medical School will make tuition more affordable for future doctors aiming to serve rural and Native communities. The William and Carolyn Frankie family's $25 million gift is also the school's largest private donation to support scholarships. The federal government's new medical student loan limit is $200,000. UW Med School Dean Dr. Tim Dellett says the average debt for a student completing their degree is $220,000.
That math doesn't work. And this is why I truly feel this is so transformational. We have to decrease that financial burden so that our students can pursue their dreams and not their debt.
The scholarship assistance will begin this year. The donation will assist about 30 future physicians each year and will pay for half their tuition. It'll also help fund educational programs aimed at middle and high school students to inspire careers in rural medicine. A congressional committee voted yesterday to fully fund the U.S. Chemical Safety Board. That's the agency that investigates major chemical disasters, like the tank rupture that killed 11 people at a Longview paper mill last month. President Donald Trump has repeatedly tried to defund the Independent Safety Board, and the House has proposed cutting its support by a third. Democratic Representative Marie Glusenkamp-Perez, who represents Southwest Washington, introduced an amendment to keep the CSB's entire $14 million budget, and yesterday the House Appropriations Committee approved it. If Congress keeps those dollars in the federal government's final budget, the CSB can continue its work, including at the Nippon Dynawave paper mill in Longview. One of Spokane's most well-known social service agencies is celebrating a major milestone birthday and making a leadership change at the same time. Spokane Neighborhood Action Partners, or SNAP, is marking 60 years of service. This week, it announced it's begun a four-month transition period from longtime Chief Executive Julie Honekamp to new leader Amber Johnson. She's currently the group's chief operating officer. In its earlier years, SNAP ran food banks and helped people with nowhere to live. Now, Johnson says it focuses on helping people with energy assistance and weatherizing homes. It also lends money to small businesses.
investing in the community and helping people strive to their full potential, providing opportunities for people in need, but especially our values of equity, community, justice, and respect. Those are things that are at the foundation of how I live my life outside of work.
Johnson will become SNAP's full-time chief executive in October. Honecamp will remain with the agency through the end of the year. A one-night-only art exhibit in Spokane tomorrow blends queerness, spirituality, and folk art. Northwest Public Broadcasting's Rachel Sun has more.
When June T. Sanders was curating her latest exhibit with five other regional artists, she says she was curious about things the contemporary art world tends to reject.
I think the art world in general doesn't care about rural artists. I think there's this bias that if you don't live in a city, then your art isn't up to par, or it's not conceptual enough, or it's not aesthetically mature.
Sanders says the exhibit titled Devotions highlights that same kind of folk art that might be dismissed elsewhere. It also connects that folk art with the experience of queer identity and spirituality. She says queer people can have complicated relationships with religion, but
I see a lot of people coming back to that. It's like, oh, I actually do need this. This is a missing part of my life and how I formulate my identity and my community and my ethos.
Devotions will be open for one night only from 6 to 9 p.m. June 5th at the Colva Sullivan Gallery in Spokane. I'm Rachel Sun reporting.
Dozens of states have sought to move away from cash bail in recent years to reduce the burdens on poor defendants. Now, public defenders are asking the Washington Supreme Court to restrict the use of bail in the Evergreen State. Their proposal has ignited a debate about fairness and whether the court even has the authority to make these changes. KUOW's Amy Radel explains.
Katie Hurley is an attorney with King County's Department of Public Defense. She and her colleagues see people burdened by unaffordable bail that can mean longer jail stays for people who haven't been convicted of a crime.
The pretrial incarceration system becomes a system of punishment, and that is not what the system is intended to be. The system is supposed to be designed to ensure people's release and to make sure they can come back to court.
So Hurley developed a proposal that asks the Washington Supreme Court to restrict the use of bail in three ways. Public defenders want more people to pay 10% of their bail straight to the court where it's refundable, instead of to bail bond agents who keep that 10% fee. Public defenders want to exempt more people from bail entirely, and they want to cap bail for many misdemeanors so people can pay just $20 to the court to get out of jail. Courtney Weimer is a bail bond agent in Tacoma and president of the State Agents Association. She says when she pays someone's bail, she and the defendant's family all work together to get the person to court. She doesn't think people will show up if they have just $20 on the line.
You can go and steal up to $750 and have it be a gross misdemeanor, and I don't think they're going to care about $20. But again, if you got your mom or grandma going, hey, you better get your butt to court, they're going to care about that.
On weekday afternoons, Weimer crosses the street from her bail bond company to Pierce County Superior Court. She says there's often little rhyme or reason to some of the judge's bail decisions. On this day, a judge releases a man with 40 arrests and a record of failing to appear in court while imposing bail on a woman with a job and a fixed address. Washington State's constitution ensures that most people are released on bail while awaiting trial. For those in custody, Weimer says,
it's because that person either has a lengthy criminal history, a lengthy history of not appearing, or it's a dangerous crime. That's why they're sitting in jail. It's not because they're poor.
Weimer opposes changing the rules, which would largely take businesses like hers out of the equation. She thinks reducing the use of cash bail means fewer people will show up to their court dates. That's a concern for the King County Prosecutor's Office as well. Here's staff attorney Patrick Hines.
If a defendant, in fact, fails to appear, particularly repeatedly fails to appear, that can entirely disrupt any ability to bring that defendant's case to a resolution.
Tiffany Attrell is co-founder of the Victim Justice Coalition. She wants the proposal debated by lawmakers, not the state Supreme Court.
nowhere in these proposed changes is there any comment on crime victims or the impact that this would have on them. And we feel like this type of sweeping changes need to be put forth before the legislature.
That's how other states have implemented bail reform. But Washington Supreme Court Justice Sal Mangia chairs the Rules Committee and says he thinks these changes are within the court's purview.
There is separation of powers here, and bail is part of the judicial process, which in my view, that is the province of our state Supreme Court.
Mangia says he received and read hundreds of comments from the public about these proposed changes. Most comments were against them on public safety grounds. But Mangia says people who pose a danger to society shouldn't be eligible for bail anyway.
If you're going to intimidate someone, try to intimidate a witness, tamper with evidence, violate a protective order, you're put in a different category.
Mangia says this bail change is meant for people who don't pose those dangers. His committee could send the proposed rules to the full court for a vote in the coming months. Bail bond agent Courtney Weimer says there are lots of things the courts could do to help people in jail, like letting them retrieve phone numbers for their family members off their cell phones so they can get released more quickly. Meanwhile, public defender Katie Hurley says she'd like to see the courts do more to support defendants who miss court dates because they're homeless or lack transportation. I'm Amy Radel reporting.
SPR News Today is a production of Spokane Public Radio. Reporting today was contributed by Eliza Billingham, Gary Davis, Courtney Sherwood, Doug Nadvornik, Rachel Sun, Amy Radel, and me, Owen Henderson. I'm also your host and producer. Eliza Billingham provides digital support. Thanks for listening. It's SPR.